Well, another week has passed. I don't know about you. I think they just go just as fast as they do when you're out here regular doing things. There's always something to be done, being busy. But here we are teaching again. We've hit this week here, dawns on a holiday, hugely important one, Mother's Day. And I just want to say to all you mothers out there, happy Mother's Day, but not just this day. I just appreciate mothers so much. It's one of the things is growing up, you know, my mom, I was, you know, meditating some things today and some things came to my memory about my mother and that stuff. And, you know, one of the things is my mom was a very strong woman and that stuff. And I've talked about the fact that her things that she's gone through in life, but she's a very strong woman, but my mom was a very straightforward woman, and she would, she was little, but she was powerful. You know, she didn't even hit 5 feet, but she was a powerful lady. And, one thing my mom was, my mom would, you know, if you ever ask my mom something, she'd always give you an honest answer. My mom would not butter something up just to try to get around, you know, not to make you feel bad. It wasn't, she didn't want to make people feel bad, but my mom was just honest. She'd just say the truth. She was just like that. She wasn't a mean lady at all, but she would just tell you, you know, don't ask her what's on her mind. Don't ask her what she wants. She'd tell you exactly. And so, and especially today, that's very hard for most people because most people, and I'm sorry to say, a lot of Christians, they aren't very honest. They won't, if you ask them a question, they'll tell you what they think you want to hear and not what's true. And so, but I always appreciated that about my mother. You know, you always knew where she was coming from and where she stood on things. And especially, you know, even as we got older, I always think about the fact, no matter how old I was, you know, my mom, if I was doing something she felt was out of line, she'd just tell me, you know, she'd just say it. And I know people sometimes they would get offended, but that's just the way that's the way she was. I think we sure need a little bit more of that today. We have too much weakness, and we're teaching on this subject about courage, and I just want to, encourage you mothers, you know, to be courageous, to have courage. I tell you what, you know, you're in a spot of leadership and family, you know, is, the one thing is I found out, you know, as you get older, you can say things sometimes that maybe could have got away with when you're younger, but I found out you'd take advantage of that, and especially mothers, you take advantage of the fact of, you know, telling concerning your children and that stuff. And one of the things I want to say is we're celebrating this Mother's Day, and I just want to say to you men, you know, maybe we can't, like, you know, I can't take Wanda out like I normally would to eat or something like that, but we're cooking at home. We do that, but many times I cook at home. It's number one, my wife don't cook on, definitely on, when it comes to Mother's Day. And, you know, I'll do what I have to. I ask her what she wants, and we do whatever she wants to do, and she deserves that, you know. She's been a good wife and good mother to our children and things, and I want to honor her. And I encourage you guys, you know, maybe you can't get out and go away, but I'm just going to say this to you, and I'm going to be blunt with you. She shouldn't be have to do any cooking and that stuff because you say you don't know how. Well, I'm going to tell you how. You know, you either go buy stuff somewhere and get something good. Don't go down to the sandwich shop. You get her whatever she wants. And then if you can't do that, well, then cook for her. Say, well, I don't know how. Well, there is no reason you don't know how. Because today, I mean, you go onto YouTube, you can find a video on how to cook anything you want. It'll take you step by step. You can watch it done so you can do it. So say, well, I don't like to cook and I don't like to, well, get. There's a lot of things in life I don't like, but I do them anyhow. They need to be done. Because I'm just going to tell you this, you're going to reap what you sow. You know, if you're only going to do what's easy, makes you feel good and that kind of stuff, believe me, in life, that's going to cost you. You know, it isn't a matter of what I want to do. Now you say, well, that there sounds a little bit hard. Well, it needs to be said. We have to, you know, is one of the things. See, I grew up under religion. And under religion and that stuff, women were more of a servant than they were wives to their husbands. They took out, do everything for them. And that stuff. And I see that in the church world even today. There's too many guys, wives are no more than mamas to big babies, taking care of a lot of things that guys won't do for themselves. And thank God for things that guys do, but I want to tell you what, it's just, is honoring your wife. My My wife to me is not somebody. I didn't marry a woman because I couldn't take care of myself. I didn't know how to do anything. I couldn't do the laundry. I couldn't do nothing. I could do all of it. Hallelujah. Because what, you know, the Bible says this crazy scripture, and I don't know, maybe it isn't true. Maybe the whole thing's been a lie. But it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wonder if that is really true. What do you think? Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Well, you're going to have to be courageous if you're going to listen to me preach today. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. It's Mother's Day. And I'll tell you what, I'm for women. I'm not against women. But I'll tell you what, I'm not into this liberal women stuff because it doesn't, that kind of stuff's a bunch of junk. It's lies of the devil. It divides families and it has nothing but done to things destroyed. And, you know, it's, and I don't like a lot of the stuff that, you know, they do concerning men. You know, we need to, you know, we need as men, especially being leaders in a family. And a leader is not just somebody who goes to work and earns money. Hallelujah. We need leaders, and especially today, a lot of women, they need the support of their husband, not just some guy that earns money. And hallelujah. I've learned a long time. The Bible said that I was supposed to leave my father and mother, and I'm supposed to cleave to my wife. So don't say cleave to your job, cleave to your, to you know, the stuff that you have, your machines, your toys, or whatever else. You cleave to them, you cleave to your wife. And so we want to do that, and especially in appreciation. And mothers, I just appreciate you, and we just want to honor you today. Thank God for good mothers. Thank God for Christian mothers. Hallelujah. Just appreciate that so much. Glory to God. Well, we're teaching about courage and commitment. And let me just say this entering into you, because I was really giving thought to things as meditating on these. One of the things that I thought about this, because dealing with these two things, courage and commitment, actually we could deal with three. I don't know that if we will. I'm just going to follow the Holy Spirit, and he spoke to me in dealing with courage and commitment. Because without courage and commitment, these two things, they really run hand in hand. But actually, it's a third thing that runs hand in hand. And I just call them really a trio to faith. And I'm going to say this trio to faith, courage, commitment, and patience. Because, you know, if you don't have this trio, you're going to be lacking. If you maybe could be a little stronger in one area than another area, but you need to develop in these three areas, especially if you're going to walk by faith. Many people believe what the Word of God says, but they lack in the areas of courage, commitment, and patience, and so they believe what the Bible says, but the Bible don't work for them. And so I just want you to understand this. So this is a hugely important subject that we're talking about here. And today we're going to be talking about courage again. And courage, I'm talking about the urge of courage. We're talking about being confident. That's part of courage, of being confident in things. And we're going to be dealing with this subject. Now, I used a scripture in opening last week, and I'm just going to read you that one again from Colossians, the third chapter, verse 16, sort of a foundation to get this thing started off in this teaching. And it opens up and says, and really the important part of this scripture the Lord gave to me is the beginning quotation here. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Is number one, you're going to have to do that. If you're going to have courage, you're going to have to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Or that word means abundantly. In other words, a lot of it. You're going to have to get a lot of the word living in you. Dwelling means to live. It has to be living in you. It's something alive in you. Whatever's alive in you and you're thinking and you're believing, those are the things you act and do. It isn't enough. Quoting scripture or memorizing a scripture is not having a scripture living in you. You may be able to bring something to your thought really quickly, but that doesn't mean that's living in you and what you're doing. Many Christians can quote scriptures, but they don't live. They're not living it. He said what? This word that dwells in you, it's supposed to be in all wisdom. God, all wisdom. In other words, wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. If you can't apply what you know, or you're not applying what you know, you're not walking in wisdom. And the book of Proverbs says this, that if you don't do what wisdom says, is wisdom will mock you. And many times people are mocked by the wisdom. What happens? They go along and they have failure. And then they'll stop and say, well, I knew I should have done such and such. Or I knew. In other words, I didn't follow wisdom. Now that same wisdom is mocking them. The same wisdom say, you knew better, but you didn't do it. So, the word of Christ, dwelling in you richly, he says, teaching, admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. So, in other words, if the word's dwelling you in it richly and walking in wisdom, praise God, you're going to have a song in your heart. So, you're not going to be discouraged You are not going to be walking around, worrying about things and stuff. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to deal with those areas, because we're talking about having courage. And so we want to walk in courage. And we also made mention where Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, where he says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind is a mind that does not worry. You can't have worry. If you don't have courage, and you don't have courage and fear dominates you, you don't have a sound mind. Now, I'm not saying that in criticism to anybody. What I'm telling you is this. You can't have a mind full of fear and worry and have courage and walk in courage and walk in commitment toward God. You can't do that. It's not a sound mind. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ, and so we want to walk in that. Hallelujah. We had also read in Colossians 4:6 where it said, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Hallelujah. It says that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So you need to have grace needs to be in your speech. Hallelujah. Talking, saying the right things, not just to other people, but concerning yourself. And we looked at one of the definitions when we deal with the areas of courage was the strength to venture, to persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. A stubborn persistence and unwillingness to be defeated. Firm determination. That's what courage is. And we need to know this. We're in a time right now, all these things are going on, and I see very little courage. When courage starts acting, going out, well, my words, a lot of the leaders get mad. They don't want people with courage. They want to, wow, they're full of fear. There's all kind of fear. They're making decisions based on, we're just going to try to protect everybody, but they're making these decisions out of fear. They're afraid. They're afraid. This disease that's going on right now has become number one in many people's mind. It's a big thing out here. And it being a big thing to people, this small thing that has become a big thing in the mind of people is turning around and eating up and destroying. And but you got to get yourself over that. You're not walking in fear of these things going on. Understand this, faith and courage, they run hand in hand. You can't be discouraged, which the definition I read to you last week says to be deprived of courage or confidence, to be persuaded to refrain from something, to be prevented from doing something because somebody disapproves. Oh, my words. Today, everybody's trying to keep everybody happy. Well, I want to tell you what, that ain't my job. If somebody has that job, they go ahead and do it. It ain't mine. I ain't going to try to keep everybody happy because I tell you what, I have to deal with me too. And sometimes I have to do things that don't make me happy. But I have to learn to do things with joy. If it's the right thing to do, it's the necessary thing to do, I need to learn to do them, whether it bothers my feelings or whatever else it says. It's like the Lord said to me one time and spoke to me about things, about even if somebody speaks to you and they don't speak to you in love and they say something to you and it isn't in love, maybe it's wrong that they didn't act in love. They didn't correct you, wasn't in love. But he said, if what they said is true, you better listen to it. So if somebody's correcting you and putting you in line and it's true, maybe you don't like the way they said it, but you need to grow up. You need to get yourself and say, well, was it true what they said? And if it was true, then you need to be glad they said it to you. Maybe they didn't say it in the right tone. Maybe they didn't do what pleased you. And I want to tell you what, we need to learn to listen today. We have little of that going on. So pay attention to what's happening. Well, we went over and looked in the areas of Scripture where God told Joshua, and we read through this. We're not going to go through them today, but God spoke to Joshua concerning courage. He told him, he commanded him to be strong and courageous. He commanded him to do it. He commanded him to do what the Word of God says. Number one, doing the Word. He said, get the Word in your mouth. Get it. You got to be saying it. You get it in you. You begin to say it. You got to do whatever the Word says. That's what he said to do. We set it in motion. Why? The power to walk in this is the Word. You know, it don't matter how much anointing you have in your life, if you don't follow the Word, that anointing is never going to work out the way it should. Maybe a way I could sort of say it, maybe this will bring an understanding to you about it. But you know, it's like when you do the Word, it seems it's almost like fuel to the anointing. When you're acting, when you're saying the word, you're doing what the word says. It just seems like it's fuel to the anointing. It makes it work stronger. And so I encourage you. See, no matter how, if God's anointed you, if you ain't putting the fuel to it, the word, and acting in line with the word, that anointing will not continue to do what God has called you to do. So get in line with that. Do what God said with Joshua. So God told Joshua that he had to be courageous. We looked at the fact that we read over in 1 Chronicles in 22, verses 12 and 13, where David told Solomon the same thing about doing what the law of Moses says and about being courageous, being strong and of good courage, he told him. So you need to get over there and do the same thing. It's the same thing. Well, we found out, we looked at Hezekiah last week. King Hezekiah, we talked about the Assyrian Empire, come down against them, marched up on Jerusalem, held siege around the city, and the leaders told him, there ain't no way you guys are going to survive this. You surrender to me or you're all going to die. Hezekiah stayed with God on the thing. And they made all these statements again, but Hezekiah went and told the people. He said, don't be afraid of this guy. He said, there's more with us than there is with him. And he said, God was going to fight this battle, for God was going to do something. God was with them. Well, it turned out, we found out that what took place was an angel of the Lord went out and killed 165,000 of the king of Assyria's army. 185,000. He went to bed at night, woke up in the morning, and 185,000 of them were dead. Well, I will tell you what, that sure changed things. Well, he went back to his kingdom, this guy who was talking bad about how big his God was. Well, he ran into Jehovah, and Jehovah was a lot bigger. And Jehovah is our God. Hallelujah. So we want to continue to follow Jehovah. He'll take care of us. Now today, I want us to go over, because we're going to continue the word, and I'm not going to give you scripture stuff you never heard. We're not doing that. These are things you heard. Right now in this time, you don't need some new revelations. I'm just telling you that. One of the things is people are coming along, and I see this, you know, that people are trying to give people, you know, ideas to do things. And now, this time, well, we got a new thing. I want you to tell you what. I get emails from things in this time. And you know one thing? And I'm tired of hearing this. I am fed up. If you're a Christian, please, and anybody in our church, please don't say these words to me unless you say them in some kind of kidding way. The new norm. Because I'm going to tell you what, I don't believe in the new norm. God's word, there is no new norms. His word's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing changes. Faith stays the same. You know, we need to get out here and get this straight. And I get these things and how to handle your church now in the new norm. And my ministry, send me this stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, I unsubscribe to ministries. I'm going to tell you what, I am fed up with their nonsense and stupidity on the new norm. Let's change. See, we can't, you know, we're going to stay in bondage of this thing forever. This is just the way it is. I see how the Antichrist come into power. I'll tell you, there's going to be many ministers are going to help the Antichrist get into power. I can see that working now. You know, they're just going to be doing everything they can. Well, we're not doing that here at Living Word Ministries. Glory to God. There's not a new norm. Glory to God. The Word of God stands true and forever. And I'm reminding you of these things because they're true, and these things will work for you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be worried. God's going to take care of you. He said He would. He's not a liar. He's not a man that He can lie. And I'll tell you what, I'm tired of listening to liars. People saying things. I thank God every day for the ministers that are speaking the truth, the ones who aren't jumping on board of every new lingo and every new bit of sand and all kind of stuff. I'm so tired of hearing this kind of stuff and these dumb people, and they are. They're dumb. They're stupid. They lack wisdom. They are worldly and fleshly. And I don't care whose favorites they are. Go ahead, have a favorite. But I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be like God. I'm not going to change. Hallelujah. I'm staying, and so are you with the Word of God. Glory to God. You know, today, I was reminded this morning as I was looking into this message to preach, I was reminded because I was thinking about some of these emails I was getting, and it bugs me. These ministers and so-called, quote, ministries. I don't know what they are. They're, anyhow, what they do is go over saying this stuff and making these statements. And I was just thinking about it today. I said, you know, it's almost like the children of Israel, when they got to the land, God sent in spies. And you know, I'm going to tell you, most of the church is like the 10 spies. Most of the church is like, they'll just jump on board. They get over there. God said, hey, I give you the land. You win. I'll send hornets in and drive them people out. You know, I'm giving you this thing. And the 10 spies, they come out. No, no, no. They got a new norm. No, no, we can't take them. No, they're too big. They're too tough. But I'm going to tell you, we're the Joshua and Caleb church. That's the one. That's the church that we are. We're the Joshua and Caleb Christians. And I thank you, folks, we ain't the only ones. Glory to God. There are more Joshua and Caleb Christians out here. Hallelujah. And I'm not interested in the 10 spy Christians. You know what? The spies, I'm going to tell you, those people better repent or they're going to go under. They're going to go under big. They'll go under bigger than the world does. And so we need to understand what happened to the children of Israel. I mean, the curse came upon them because of the 10 spies and what happened to all those ones. And you know what? Those spies died before God in a plague. That's what the word says. They died before God in a plague. And praise God, we are not plagued. Glory to God. We're blessed in the name of Jesus. Because why? Hallelujah. We have not got a new norm in life. We stay the same. Our God changes not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. The healing, the delivering power, supplying all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Praise God. We got the one to count on all the time. Hallelujah. Well, I want to go over to the area of scriptures to look at. Very familiar again, but we're looking at it, what the Bible tells us to do. So the Bible, you know, tells us what to do and what not to do. So we're going to look at what to do and what not to do. We're going over to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians, the fourth chapter. We're going to begin here to look at some scripture references in the New Testament that tells us things will be a good encouragement for us. There's some here in the other scriptures, New Testament. There's other things in the Old Testament we're going to look at that will be a good encouragement to us. Hallelujah. And that's what we want to do. You know, we have been teaching on our Wednesday night teaching and looking into Jeremiah. And some of that really sounds, man, I tell you, some heavy stuff said over there. But you know what? Those messages are not because we're going to go under. That has nothing to do with it. We're walking with God, but we need to understand how God deals with people that won't walk with Him. We need to understand this stuff. You know, and we need to become warners to people and that stuff. That's why we need to become the wall of truth, you know, and tell people the truth about things. And praise God, that's what we're doing, telling people the truth. Well, in Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 6 says this, starting at 6 says, be anxious for nothing. And anxious, now, in other words, don't have anxiety or don't worry about nothing or anything. You're not supposed to do that. Do you know that worry's a sin? Well, say, why is it a sin? Because it's lack of faith. You can't worry and have faith. You can't worry and have faith. So you can't be trusting God in worrying. You can't do that. Praise God. But see, if you listen to this teaching and listen to these things, you will worry. You'll be excited. You'll be glad God's working on your behalf. So he says, don't worry about anything. Now listen to what he says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Listen to what he says. Don't worry about nothing. What do you do? Well, everything that you're praying and supplicating for, everything you're talking to God about, said, do it with thanksgiving. Well, why would you do it with thanksgiving? Well, because if you were operating faith, you'd believe God's going to answer you. And you'd be praying and thanking God He's going to do it for you. He said, what? Let your requests be made known to God. So we're not supposed to worry about anything. Hallelujah. But I want you to listen. I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. The Amplified's very good. He says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything. Every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific request known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Jesus is ours. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Is that good or what? Is that good? Glory to God. See, peace is supposed to dominate. Right now, in this time and situation, we're supposed to be at peace and we're supposed to be at rest. Hallelujah. We're not supposed to be worrying about anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might look down and say, man, if things keep going, I'm going to go under. If things keep going, well, don't stop that. Stop that right now. you get this scripture out. I'll tell you, get the Amplified Bible. You say, I don't have an Amplified Bible. Well, if you have a computer or you've got a phone, you can go on and bring this scripture up in the Amplified, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You can bring those right up and look at those. Now, one of the things I want to say to you, this is most people today, well, let your request be known to God. And then sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. That's one of the biggest lies there ever was from the pit of hell. How could you be thankful and thanking God? We have here in this scripture, you don't worry about nothing. Why? God is going to answer your prayer. That's what this scripture is about. God's going to answer your prayer. That's why you don't have to worry. If God's not going to answer, then you better get worrying. I never heard such nonsense in my life. These people just, well, he says yes, no. Sometimes he says later and that kind of stuff. Everything that those words that are said are all unscriptural, not said in the Bible. They're only said by religious people who have a religion that they call Christianity, which isn't. They have another Jesus that they preach. They have an unfaithful Jesus. They have a Jesus who doesn't stick to his word. But I want to tell you about your Jesus. Hallelujah. Your Jesus changes not. Hallelujah. He's the same. His words that he has spoke is the same yesterday. The same words Apostle Paul spoke here to the Philippians are the same to you today. Don't worry. Hallelujah. God's peace, it says, transcends all understanding, guarding your heart and mind. Hallelujah. What God said he'll give you, he will do for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you excited? I don't know about you. I'm really excited. I'm excited. Hallelujah. What God is doing. Well, I don't know about you. I'm having a good time with the word. I hope you can laugh and enjoy, rejoice along with me. Glory to God. I just love it. In fact, I'm going to go back and read that in the Amplify again. I just love it. It just excites me. It says, do not be anxious or worry about anything. Oh, maybe the doctor told you something and it wants to bring worry. Maybe somebody, maybe your finance, maybe you looked at your checkbook and your checkbook's talking to you. I want to tell you this. Don't you worry about a thing. Don't be worried about anything. But he said, but in everything. He didn't say some things. Listen to what he said. In everything. Listen. Every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. So you got to have thanksgiving. You got to be thanking God that he's doing what he said. You got to be thanking God that he's carrying it out. See, you go over Mark 11:24. What does Mark 11:24 tell us? Whatever thing you desire when you pray, you believe you receive it. See, if you believed you received it, then you'd be thanking God he gave it to you. Hallelujah. That's what this scripture's about. Paul's not talking something different. He's talking the same stuff Jesus talked. Hallelujah. With thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. Whatever your requests are. It don't mean you just keep praying about the same thing all the time. That's not, it said requests. It became plural. In other words, your request, the specific request, just keep doing that. Keep asking God concerning. If you have another request, then go to him with that one. If you come up with another one you need, go to him with that one. God don't have this thing out here. You know what? I'm going to answer 7 of your prayers. I know you have 25 more, but we're not going to answer those. Well, this is the church world today. You get this one thing that you need, and you just keep begging, crying, moaning, groaning, keep praying and 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 praying, trying to get God to do it. Well, that's not what this is talking about here. That's not this. I don't know what God that is. I don't know what religion that is. Because God told us in his word about the unjust judge. The unjust judge, the woman had to keep going back and hounded him till he finally gave in to her. And he didn't give in to her because he cared about her at all. He could have cared less about her. He didn't care what happened. What that man did, he did it for his own good. He said, I'm going to give it to her just so don't keep coming back and worrying me. But God said this about his children. He would respond to them quickly. Woo! Hallelujah. When we pray, God's going to respond to us quickly. That's what you need to get into your heart. God's going to respond to you quickly. Now listen what he goes on, verse 7, and the peace of God. Now here's the peace. That peace which reassures the heart. That peace which transcends all understanding. That peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, wasn't that good? Wasn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. You can be glad to hear that. I would say to you, get that scripture. If you can get that scripture, go to the Amplified Bible and go over there to that and take that scriptures there, and meditate on them and keep going over that till that gets down inside of you so that you're so sure of that thing about that. Now, let me read to you in Philippians. Let me bring it to you in verse 8. I want to come over here in verse 8 and bring it to you because you need to hear that here. Hallelujah. Praise God. In verse 8. Verse 8 says this. Now, what are you supposed to do? Now, remember he told us that we were supposed to meditate on the Word of God. We're supposed to do that. It's one of the things God told Joshua. If he was going to have courage, Joshua was going to have to do that. He was going to have to meditate on the Word of God. And so, I want you to see this here in verse 8 of that same one. It says, finally, brother. Now, he just told us all that other wonderful things. Finally, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So what do we meditate on? It tells us the good stuff. You meditate on good things. You set yourself. You might be looking and seeing. It just seemed like things aren't going right. You know, whatever might be happening or going on right now. You can't sit and make that your meditation. Think on what's good. Think on the blessing of God. Think on what all He's doing for you and what the fulfillment of the Word of God in you. Set yourself on good reports. You can't sit down and look at the death toll. Sit down, you look at the death toll, and you're going to be full of death. You don't worry about those things. You know, I don't know if you folks remember, but when back at our church picnic, the message that I gave is one of the things dealing with the areas, the doctors and hospitals, of how many people die every year going to the doctor, to the hospital, of something they didn't go in the hospital for, where there was a mistake made in the surgery, wrong medications and different things. And I gave you the report where Johns Hopkins University had just done a study. They said about 250,000 people die in the hospital because they weren't treated properly or some things went wrong. And we found this out. I found that there was other studies that were done. It said that Johns Hopkins was really low, that some believed it was over 400,000 people die because of that. Now, I want you to think about this. How many people are dying in the hospital with the flu because they're making mistakes? See, they blame everything on the flu. I don't believe that. Why? Because of the running record that they have. Am I against doctors and nurses? No, I'm not against none of them. I love them. I thank God for what they're able to do. But I want to tell you what, if you're believing everything that you hear is going on, I'm going to tell you you're flaky as the day is long. Don't be listening to this stuff. You see, these things are going on. What do you need to sit down and think on? You need to think on what's good. You can't sit and listen to their reports, you know, coming out again about, the second round is going to come and it's going to kill more people. You know, I don't care if a second round comes and ain't killing this boy. I ain't worried a thing about it. People want to go along and do this stuff. And, you know, and I'm going to tell you what, the death toll of things that they're doing, they're saying the percentage of people and that stuff that are dying and the rate of death is, I'll tell you what, I'm just telling you straight out, it ain't true. It ain't true. It's not true. This flu is not nearly as deadly as they said it is. Loads, millions and millions and millions of people have already had this flu. Millions and millions and millions have had it and have had zero side effects. And that fact they know but will not talk. They don't publicize that. Why? Because fear sells. Most people love fear. Most people love to listen to it. You know, I'm sorry, I don't listen. I don't listen to the daily reports. You know, I pray for President Trump. I love President Trump. But you know what? I don't listen to his reports at all. I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to go there. All that stuff is, you know, and the news media's and they're pumping out the stuff. Well, if you meditate on those things, don't be surprised you have little courage. And because another thing it is, it'll rob your peace. Don't let this stuff rob your peace. Don't listen to these things and then turn around, whether the government, our governor opens the state up more or he doesn't open up. I don't know, you know, sometimes I don't agree with what they're doing. But nonetheless, I ain't going to let it discourage me. I'm going to keep walking in the Word of God. I'm going to be blessed through this thing. I'm just telling you this. I'm coming out of this thing with more money than I had going in. Yeah. It's already happening to me. Glory to God. It's people need to get Hallelujah. I ain't, you know, the word of God's true. I don't care what they're doing and saying, but I'm not playing into their game. I'm going to get richer, not poorer. Hallelujah. I'm above. I've been redeemed from the curse. And you've been redeemed from the curse. So start talking like you've been redeemed from this curse instead of like you're cursed. Don't be talking that stuff over there. Don't be saying their stuff. Don't be just holding, you know, great conversations about all that they're doing. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the blessing of the Lord, whatever's good. Let's make that our meditation. Anything that's praiseworthy. Glory to God. Well, their reports, I can't listen to their reports and have praiseworthy. Glory to God. It ain't happening. And glory to God, we're going to make it. You know, hallelujah. If people want to walk in the wilderness longer, they can go ahead. But Ed Gibson's not taking that trip, okay? I'm not heading there. I'm not going to that place. I'm going to walk in what God has called us to walk to. So I just encourage you. So remember that. We're supposed to meditate or think on. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know, one of the things, I just want to say this, you know, I have prayed concerning back before this all happened, or back into last year. I did a lot of praying in the areas, and I would pray to God, and I would always pray and say, God, the things that these people are doing against the president and these other people that they're doing, Father, I pray that the things they're doing in darkness would come to light. I am so thankful for the exoneration of General Flynn. I'm just, thank you, Lord. God has brought to pass. God, you know, the Lord spoke to me in 2019 through the prophet Randall Greer and said the things that I prayed that I was going to see all of it happen. It was going to come to pass. The Lord said that. That's one of the things that I prayed. And praise God, that thing is coming to pass. I'm having the things that I prayed for. Glory to God. They're coming to pass. There's more of it coming to pass. I'll tell you, to this thing's over, the things that these people have done in evil and lying, it's going to be so plain to the public. I'll tell you, don't worry about the election coming up and down the road. Quit listening to these people and quit listening to even the Republicans. You know, well, if Trump don't do this or Trump don't do that, then he might not be able to get elected. Well, I'm going to tell you, let me just say this to you. Those poor, simple knuckleheads ain't got a clue. I don't care if they're Republicans. I don't care if they call themselves conservatives. And I don't care if they call themselves conservative Christian. They can say any old thing they want to. They need to wake up, start listening to God, and stop this political nonsense out here. Hallelujah. The saints have prayed. Think about the things that you have prayed and asked God to do. Is he answering your prayers or he's saying to you? Does he only say that to Ed Gibson? Ed, the things that you prayed are going to happen. And you're a special Ed, you know. And watch it out, I'm a special Ed. And anyhow, you know, is he doing that? No, he's not. The things that you prayed and faced and you sought for him, I'm going to tell you what, one of the things we need to pray concerning justice and righteousness take place. Justice and right. And you know what? I'm not the only one who's been praying that. Many have been praying that. I know I've heard ministers who have talked about praying about this thing, about justice and stuff. Hallelujah. I know with Ken Kasich and I talked about that. Ken, God has really emphasized with him about that stuff, about justice brought back into the land again. And one of the things of this that we've been praying about these things, justice. Hallelujah. And praise God. God is working in that area. God didn't go to sleep. He's not sleeping nor slumbering. We don't have to worry. He's working to fulfill and carry out our prayers, fulfill them for us, and I just thank God for it. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you with those words and things that you've prayed. It wasn't just for me. I mean, thank God. You know, many things that God does for me and God has me tell you about, he's telling me about for your encouragement. It's for you that he does it for me to show you that he'll do it for you. It isn't just for me that I'm somebody special. And I want you to get that. Many things God does. You know, there's many things that the Lord took me through and things that I've had where supernatural stuff took place and that stuff that God told me about doing those things so I could teach other people so they could, those things can be done for them. It isn't for me. It isn't because I'm special. You know, ministers teaching you the things that God does for them, it's for you too. It's not because he's special, he's a minister. Don't ever go around talking that nonsense. Well, he did it for him because he's a minister. And he did. Don't ever talk that nonsense. If you talk that nonsense, what you're doing is you're saying, devil, you can bring the curse on me. You're allowed to because I ain't a preacher. See, you're allowed to do that stuff to me because I'm not special. Hallelujah. I am. I'm special. And I was special before I ever became a preacher. I'm a child of God. Didn't we know more special than that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I don't know about you. I'm happy today. Well, we're going to go on here and teach a few more things. We're going to get down through here in some scriptures. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I want to go over to 2 Corinthians. We have a wonderful thing here that concerning faith that we're going to be looking at here. Hallelujah. We're teaching today. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Now, hallelujah. I want to just say this to you. These things are encouragement. Paul, you know, the church at Corinth was a very carnal church. Paul didn't throw them under the bus. Why? Because God didn't throw them under the bus. They were messed up and they did things. But the word, God gave them words through the apostle Paul, be a blessing and helping them in the outside. I want to talk about something here today. I want you to read these. We'll go along with me in these scriptures in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Verse 16, we're going to start out. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Look at it. He says, we don't lose heart. In other words, now listen to this. Don't lose heart. We talk about use many times these kind of things and say these words, but these words really don't mean much to us. I've heard people use that. Don't lose heart over this, or don't lose heart. What's he talking about? Let's talk about what the scripture talks about when it's talking about heart. The heart is the place where a person believes from. If you lose heart, your ability to walk by faith has just been diminished. See, you don't lose heart. See, without faith, you can't please God. If you lose heart, you can't please God. So in other words, don't lose heart. Now, what's he talking about don't lose heart about? Though the outward man is perishing. You know what? Do you know you're getting older? You know, I'm going to inform you something might surprise you. You're dying. And if you didn't know that, poor you. You know, all these people that are fighting for life today, they don't even know that they're already dying. They were dying anyhow. But he says, why? But he's going to tell us, don't lose heart. See, we're living in this earth and you're getting older. And I'm going to tell you, thank God we can use our faith and maintain ourselves maybe and do better as we go on. But ain't nobody living forever. Nobody's living forever. Not in this suit. This suit, this earth suit you in, it's a dying. Why? Because it's dead in sin. Praise God, God has a new suit for us, and we'll put that one on, and that one there won't be perishing at all. The outward man is perishing, it is. What? He said, why? Because the inward man's being renewed every day. See, on the inside, I haven't aged a second. From the day that I got born again, I have as much life and vitality because my inward man is eternal. He is not natural. See, this is why. Now listen what he says. Now listen what he goes on and say. See, because you don't lose heart. The outward man's perishing, but the inward man's not. The place of faith in you, it can go stronger and stronger and stronger. Your faith can develop more and more and more. Don't worry. Most people keep basing their faith on the outward man. See, that's what they're doing now. They're saying, you know what? If you're older, you have a bigger chance of dying from this flu. Yeah. Oh, see, the outward man controls. No, my inward man's in control. Hallelujah. The inward man's in charge. Glory to God. Not the outward man. The same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead's living inside of me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, listen what he goes on to say. See, this will help you. Listen, pay attention. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment. Now, let me stop right there. Our light affliction. Do you know that? Do you know the coronavirus is a light affliction? Have you been talking about it being a light affliction? Or what have you been saying? Well, if you've been saying the wrong thing, if you've been meditating on the wrong stuff, you've been talking the wrong stuff. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment. This afflictions are there for a moment. You know, even living in this earth, this is but for a moment. We make such a big deal over these things. Because see, most Christians, they're scared to death to leave this earth. They say, oh, if I die, I go to be with Jesus. Well, it's time to start acting like it. Start acting like that's true. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want Jesus to come. I want to go. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to leave. But this stuff is just for a moment. But listen what it says, this stuff that's going on here. And I want to know, I'm going to ask you the question. He said, what is working for us? It's working for us? What? This thing's working for us? Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you ain't afraid, you ain't worried. It is. You know, Kenneth Hagin used to say this, and I heard him say this so many times. He said, talks about challenges of your faith. Things come along and happen in your life. The bad stuff happens. He said, this is just another opportunity for me to prove that the Word of God's true. See, this stuff going on helps you build a confidence in God, standing in faith. Now, if you're not going to stand in faith, these scriptures aren't for you. They're not for you. Because they ain't going to work for you. But what is this? See, this thing going on today, you know what it's working in me? A far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. Hallelujah! This thing's a working in me. Is it a working in you? See, you have to decide that. I can't decide it for you, but I want to tell you what. Paul said it is. It'll work a greater eternal way to glory for you. Now he's going to tell you how you have to do this, though. Now listen, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen. Oh, my. But I love to go online and listen. I got friends on Facebook and they talk the junk. I want to hear what they got to say. I want to listen to the news. I want to hear what they got to say. I want to have this. I want to hear the latest virus report. Well, we've had the latest virus reports and they didn't work out well. Why? While we do not look at the things which you're seeing. Don't look at what you see. Quit looking at what you can see. See, the church is founded in its seed. You know, it's one thing as the Lord brought to me today, and I just want to say this. You know, I realize, and there's nothing matter with churches doing their online services and stuff and things where they go on and they have video, but you know what? We've really got a problem today. And I'm going to tell you what the problem is. The Lord dealt with me about this. He said, people are more into seeing than they are into hearing. He said the most thing right now is not you seeing something or watching a preacher preach or watching a show. The most important thing is what is said. And that's not the most important now. Oh, people, they can't even sit down and listen to a minister, an audio. They have to have seeing. Oh, we got to be able to see. Fill your eyes with seeing. No, I'm filling my ears with hearing. That's what I'm going to do. See, seeing me don't do nothing for you. You know, the best thing I can give you is what I say under the anointing. That's the best. Seeing me, that don't. Good luck. Ain't that pretty to see anyhow. So not looking at what you see, but at the things which are not seen. This is one of the things. We get into so much seeing physically, we don't get to see the unseen realm. We're full of seeing. The eye is filled with seeing. The physical eyes are filled with seeing. Instead of the inner man, us seeing what he's seeing. See, it's what's on the inside. But at the things which are not seen. What's it says? For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, seeing me physically, that's only my physical body, that's temporary. It's a temporary thing. But see, we uphold that. Today, see, we talk about, you know, being this communication society. I just want to tell you what we truly, really are. Let's put it down to where the brass tacks hit the road. We're a visual society. Everything has got to be seen. We got to have audio. We got to have all this video. Everything has to be seen. Everything has to be done. Everything. But when it comes down, and see, people are having a hard time with the Word. They have a hard time reading the Bible. They got to, you know, I'll tell you, oh yeah, put scriptures on the screen and have a video behind of a field and wind blowing through the wheat and all that kind. Let's have that. That would really be my thing. That would really, I like doing that. Yeah, get full of seeing. And the Word doesn't have much depth in the individual. Now, we need to get over in these areas and get into line into this stuff. And I'm going to go back to these scriptures again. So I'm going to start verse 16 again. It said, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man's being renewed. See, get focused on the inward man. You can't see your inward man. I look in the mirror and all I see is this old dude. I see this 70-year-old dude looking in the mirror. I see this guy looking in the mirror and it had wrinkles he never had before, and they're just, you know, and probably next year there'll be a couple more wrinkles on there and stuff. And then people say, well, that is really, that's not a good confession of faith. Well, get over it. You can say whatever you want. You're going to drop dead one day, so get over it. You can sit around and play these little stupid games and call it faith and stuff and whatever. You're getting over. Paul said, the outward man's perishing. I wonder, I guess Paul didn't know that. He ain't as bright. He wasn't as much as a faith man as these faith people are today. The inward man, I'm looking at the inward man. The inward man's full of life. He's quickening the outer man. Hallelujah. That's what I'm focusing myself on, is the inward man. Hallelujah. He's the eternal man. The eternal man is one with God. Glory to God. That's the guy that I'm looking at. What are you looking at? Are you looking at that guy? Hallelujah. Well, I hope you are. I hope you're looking. Listen, the inward man. Do you have sight on the inside, or is all your sight on the outside? Glory to God. I'll tell you, I remember Kenneth Hagin said this years ago, and I've always stuck with this thing. He said, the man on the inside, he's a giant. He's so much bigger than the guy on the outside. He's so much stronger. Yeah, that's me. That's me, the guy on the inside. The inside man, my inner man is strong, full of the power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The outward man, he's a perishing, but it don't matter. I got an inward man and he's eternal. You can't kill that boy. Hallelujah. Oh, he's full of the life of God. He is eternal. Now, and then goes over, verse 17. See, folks, this stuff makes me happy when I when I go over. Well, he says, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. All this stuff going on with this virus, all these people worried, all these people, oh my words, what the Chinese did. What does it matter? It's here. Who cares? Finding out the Chinese did it, what does that get us? It don't get us nothing, whether the Chinese did it intentionally or not intentionally, that don't matter. What matters is what God said, hallelujah, in His Word about me overcoming. I don't get overcome because I found out the Chinese did something. That don't help me overcome nothing. It's here. Hallelujah. The virus is here. Well, how do I portray it? How do I look at it? What am I thinking? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, And I said, where are we going to stand? You know, I've heard prophecies and done things, and a prophet said, you know, that he said by 15th of April this thing was going to turn around, and God told him. He had a dream, and God told him. Well, we're a little past the 15th, aren't we? Is it turned around? No. it's just, people just take things that... You know, I don't care. I'm tired of different things. You know, we ought to be able to judge some stuff, whether they're right or wrong, what people say. You know, if a guy prophesies and says it's going to happen a certain time, it didn't happen a certain time, well, then we know it wasn't God. So let's get with the program. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go over and look at these things. You know, I ain't saying the guy didn't have a vision. He may have had a vision or a dream, but it don't mean it was God gave it to him. And people do it, say what they want. I mean, we're living around here looking at it, you know. There's one thing, as Brother Hagin told us, if a guy prophesies something, well, just wait and see. If it don't happen, well, then you know God didn't do it. It wasn't God. So let's get into these things, folks. Hallelujah. Let's wake up. And but we need to go on. We need to walk in this area. This is a light affliction. Glory to God. It's a light affliction. You need to get this a light affliction, and this thing's working in you a greater weight of glory. I just want to thank God. You know, this thing going on down around here is one thing I'm glad about. God is taking this event that the devil brought into the earth. The devil and man, through their man's sin and man walking, not following, God has opened the door to the devil to do this stuff. But we need to understand this, that this thing going on, God, you know what God's doing for this, for Ed and for you? If you'll cooperate with Him, He'll work it in you. This is going to be a greater eternal word, a way to glory in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're going to have more glory working in you. Woo! I'll tell you what, that's good news. So see, we're not going under. We have more glory working inside of us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? How's it going to do that? As long as you're not looking. While we do not look at the things which are seen. You got to quit looking at the seen realm. Quit looking at what's going on around you. Stop it. Hallelujah. Don't make that. Those things you may be able to see with the physical eyes, but those are not supposed to things. Remember that you meditate on. You meditate on what is not seen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But at the which are the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen, they're temporary. Hallelujah. See, this thing's temporary. This thing's not eternal. You know, quit whining and crying. Don't cry and cry. It's not eternal. But the things which are not seen, what are they? They're internal. Hallelujah. This eternal way to glory, this thing going to be forever. It's working in me now and forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in me. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know about you. I think that's absolutely wonderful, wonderful news. I don't know about you. I think this is a good Mother's Day message. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mothers, I tell you, take a hold of this thing. Step out in the glory that God's called you to in this day and hour. Don't let this thing discourage you well over this time. And, well, Mother's Day, I see people doing all this stuff, say, well, you know, the kids can't have their graduation stuff. And get over all the scene stuff. Stop it. Stop whining and petting people over this kind of stuff. Stop it. Make this a time of developing in glory. Hallelujah. Take this time and step up and say, praise God. The outcome of this thing is going to be so glorious, I won't even ever think about it. I didn't miss nothing. Hallelujah. The devil isn't going to steal from me. He steals from me. He's got to return it to me 7 times. Hallelujah. I tell you, I'm going to be 7 times more blessed than I was. I don't care what he does. He can take Father's Day and whatever else he wants. I don't care. Hallelujah. Why? Because he can't take the word of God out of me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Well, we want to keep walking in the light of the truth, don't we? We want to stay in the light of the truth. Listen to this in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Won't you turn to Hebrews 10th chapter 35? I'm going to say a little bit more here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've gone about an hour already, but I'm going to go get some more of this scripture. Yes, scriptures are so good. I just love it when I get to teach them and preach them, because when I do, it just even excites me more. Hallelujah. I like them. When I was studying this, putting this stuff together, I got all excited, but I even got more excited. Praise God. Listen to this. Hebrews 10 chapter, verse 35. Listen to this. This is good. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. You have need of endurance. In other words, you know, endurance is part of this thing. We talk about courage. So in other words, without courage, there's not going to be any endurance. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. See, what happens? You throw away your confidence, you throw away your courage. See, courage has confidence. You throw away your courage. You can't do that. Let me just tell you a little story. Kenneth Hagin's told, it's helped me, because years and years ago, I heard him tell the story when I first got born again. And it really helped me. And it's going to help you, because some of you are going to find out, you know, you've been praying about certain things and, you know, talking about faith, but you really haven't been in faith. Because why? You cast away your confidence. And I want to talk to you about this. Kenneth Hagin talked about an elderly woman. In fact, she was in her 80s. And she came down with terminal stomach cancer. And she was very ill and she was in bad shape. And she was a lady who had really walked by faith for years, very strong Christian woman, very strong spiritual lady. But in her 80s, she turned around and got sick and this cancer, and she was, you know, going through some very difficult, very, very difficult time. And Kenneth Hagin went to her home. Her daughter had asked Kenneth Hagin if he would come to her and see her. And so he did, and he sat down and he talked to her, and he knew her from years past. And he said to her about praying for her to be healed. And she spoke to him and said, you know, I've lived out my time here. I'm in my 80s and this is going on. Just let me go home and let me go home, be with the Lord, you know, and that kind of stuff. And Kenneth Hagin said, I'm not going to do it. And he made this statement. He said about this lady came into the kingdom of God as a young woman being healed. She was healed is one thing that's brought her into the kingdom and got filled with the Holy Ghost and that things. She knew over the years and walked in the power of the healing power of God. And now this thing came. And he made this statement about it. He told her, he said, I'm not going to do it. He said, if you want to die, he said, get healed. If God healed you, then go ahead and die with your want. But he said, don't go like this. God don't get no glory out of you leaving like this. I want you to tell this. God don't get glory out of people from the standpoint. He can't get the full glory he wants. People dying. Thank God they go to heaven. She would have went to heaven. She died. Now, this is what he said he did. He said, now I prayed for her. And he said, I didn't pray for her healing. And he said, you know why? He said, She wasn't no place of faith to be healed. She wasn't believing to be healed. He said, but I prayed this for her, that she would not lose her confidence. She had lost her confidence. He wanted God to do something to help restore confidence to her. Now, this is what he did, and this is what you need to do. If you've been having a problem in an area, and it's not been changed, and your faith ain't working in it, and you know it, don't play faith games. If you've lost confidence, this is what you need to do. He said, I would go to her house, and he said, at first, he said, I went every day that I could, and I sat down, and I read healing scriptures, and I'd read healing scriptures to her, and read it to her every day. Go and just keep doing it. Why? Because the Word built confidence in her. It bought her confidence. Now, this woman had such a large tumor in her stomach area that the tumor was starting to the point to come out to eat out her back. That's how bad off this woman was. She's bedridden, laying in the bed. She can't eat anything. Everything she eats throws up. She can't eat anything. Well, day after day of him doing that, in a six-month period of time, he got her completely healed. By taking it, the more she heard the word God built confidence in her. See, the word builds confidence. I want you to get this. You don't throw away your confidence. If you throw away confidence, you've thrown the word out. So you don't throw away your confidence. Why? For you have need of endurance. This confidence, it's the endurance thing, you know. It's your courage. You can't do it anyway without it. He says, you have need of it. So that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You can have the promise. See, God wants to give it to you. So don't throw your confidence out. Listen when he goes on to say here in verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live, what? By faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now God didn't say he hates you. But you know, God doesn't have pleasure in the fact that we back off, we lose our confidence. He said, I don't have any pleasure in that. God, don't take pleasure. Why? Because faith pleases God. God wants you to please Him. You know what? God wants to reward you. But now I like this. Now this is us here. Verse 39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now let me just say to this, he talks about the saving of the soul here. Hallelujah. The saving of the soul. He's not talking here, the saving of the soul, talking about your spirit being saved. The soul is your mind, will, and emotion. See, your mind, will, and emotions, if you don't get them straightened out, if you're looking at the things that are seen instead of the unseen, your mind will get over there and become really working against you. It'll start operating against you. But he said, we're not the ones that draw back. We're going to stay on the Word. Hallelujah. We're going to keep following the Word. That's us. To the saving of our soul, to the renewing of our mind. So our mind, we don't lose our confidence. One of the meanings of the word confidence is faith or belief that one will act in a right manner, proper or effective way. So you lose your confidence. If you lose confidence in the Word of God, you lose confidence in God. You believe He ain't going to do right. You're not going to believe He's going to carry out what He said. You're going to believe, well, now he can't heal me. He's not going to do this. He's changed. No, you can't lose your confidence. You can't, because confidence and courage run hand in hand. They're two running hand in hand. You'll never have courage if you lose confidence. That's why you hold on to confidence. Hallelujah. Praise God. You don't change. Glory to God. It's like I talked about patience. Listen, because it really patience and confidence runs hand in hand. When you're confident, and when you have courage, you're going to be, patience is going to run right along in that. Remember where James said, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I can say this in the scripture. Let courage have its perfect work, then you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Or I could say this, let confidence have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, having nothing. They just run right in hand, folks. You see that? Do you see that, what I'm saying there? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So praise God. I just believe these words today. It will bless you and help you. I tell you, follow the scriptures, follow what the Word says. You'll be full of confidence and faith. You're going to come out of this thing on the top, not the bottom. Hallelujah. You're going to come out of this better than what you went into it. Glory to God. Doesn't matter what people say or things going. God has a plan for your blessing. So let's walk in that blessing. Glory to God. Let's end there in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you today. Thank you, Lord God. I am so grateful for your words today. I'm so grateful for the life and the words. And today, Lord God, we're celebrating Mother's Day. And Lord, I ask you to for a special blessing on the mothers today, Lord God. And I ask you, Lord God, and I pray for them, Lord God, Lord, that they don't lose confidence, Lord God, about what's going on and what's happening, especially concerning their children and grandchildren and things. And I know, Lord God, these things, Lord God, so many things are going on, and there's so many things we could get over in and get anxious about, worry about. I thank you today, Lord God. I pray that they'll keep looking at the Word, that they'll not be distracted by the things that are happening around them and worry about those things. And Lord God, Lord, they don't get burdened down with the things, Father, that maybe ones around them are getting burdened with, even in their families. Lord God, that they become strong, Lord God. They are anchors, Lord God, that are hooked in, Lord, just as an anchor in a ship gets hooked into the rocks down below, and Lord God holds that ship, Lord God, and the storm can't wash it away, that they'll not be washed away, that they'll stand, Lord, that their families will see the glory of God and the greater the greater way to glory that is working in them. And so, Father, we thank you for it all. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.